You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm so glad you've joined me again for part two of my conversation with Connie Albers, recorded live during the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. If you missed part one, you'll want to go back and listen. You're sure to be encouraged. Now on to part two. Freedom is given when responsibility is handled wisely. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we do have to pull back and say, well, you didn't really handle that wisely. So next time you don't have that freedom, but then, you know, maybe a few months down the road, you let up again a little bit. I want to talk about that specific thing in regards to social media, because yeah. I know that you are really you have your hands deep into the world of social media. You're quite knowledgeable about it and really how to handle that with the teen years. And this is something that obviously our parents never dealt with when we were teens. It didn't exist. But now we've got teenagers and they're wanting to get on social media and do all of these things because their friends are doing it. Can you talk about social media when it comes to raising godly children to become godly adults? How do we navigate through this messy, messy world without our kids becoming resentful for us to us because we're not allowing them to do what all their friends are doing?
So if you guys are wondering, all you listeners out there, and thank you for tuning in, I'm taking notes because I have a lot to say on social media. Okay. So many parents are afraid of it, and rightfully so. Pornography is running rampant. Cyberbullying, anonymous apps, the dark web. So much is dark out there. But it is the world your children are growing up in. And I can assure you, social media is not going away. Another platform will be developed, but it's not going away. I mean, we saw from MySpace to Facebook to Instagram, and now it's TikTok. Here's two things I want your listeners to really understand and write it down, text it in your phone. But besides food and water, there's two things your children absolutely need: to be heard and to be seen. What does social media provide? A place to be heard and a place to be seen. Am I right?
Yep.
If you wonder, even your shy children that aren't talking to you, they're talking to somebody. Just look at the minutes on their phone, or look at check out how much time they're spending on Snapchat or whatever platform they're on. This is what I tell parents. And you're right, I'm really involved in it. And I kind of know more than I wish I would have known. But it was part of God's design. I see things on the dark web. I've learned a lot about it, and it's gross. You just kind of feel icky. There's a lot of people after our children. There's a lot of people after us. But there is a way to help your children navigate it wisely by doing this. Helping your children understand it is a tool. It is a resource. It's just like taking an electric drill. You can take an electric drill and go destroy something, or you can take electric drill and create something, correct?
Yeah.
So it's a tool and a resource. It's not this awful thing. It can be. Help your children learn that they have a voice. They have a platform, especially during the teen years. They feel voiceless, or a lot of them, and they're looking for somebody. They're looking for their tribe. They're looking for their people. They're looking for somebody that they can connect with. Yeah. Teach them how to have a positive social footprint. I say this all the time. Show them how their voice matters and how they can take their voice, a passion that they're really a cause they really care about, human trafficking, the pug society, rescuing ferrets that are lost after a tornado, whatever it is. There's a Facebook group for it, I'm sure. But help them realize, I'm passionate about this cause. How can I lend my time to promoting and shining a positive light and creating awareness within my circle, within my community, that promotes a cause that furthers an issue that they care deeply about. That could be, like I said, scripture. It could be about policy, you know, politics, although I kind of stay away from that one. But there are some that love to go there. But Yvette, it is just a tool. It is something that parents can't give their child a device and say, hey, have at it, sweetie. Enjoy TikTok. No, it's a tool and a resource that we say, like everything, there's warnings with it. There's dangers with it. You know, if you don't use a drill properly, you could drill a hole through your hand. Mm-hmm. But if you use it properly, it could have a huge impact. Talk about being seen and talk about being heard. Use examples from platforms where you see they're just trying to take the big old flashlight and say, look at me, look at me. Aren't I wonderful? I'm so special. And I'm just doing all these crazy things. Say, you know what? Let's take that same device and let's shine a light on caring for pets or taking care of an elderly person or, you know, a disease, that cancer or something like that. So many children, when they learn this, they grow up into adulthood and they understand the power of commerce, starting a business, creating awareness. And why do I say that? Well, now my children are all adults. Three of them have online businesses. They use social media responsibly. They're careful in the words that they use. They shine a light on things that are passionate and that matter to them. They've learned how to promote other people instead of just, hey, I'm so wonderful. Look at this outfit today. They shine a light on the things that matter most. And that's really what we want. If we don't do it and help them during the teen, tween years, when they hit 18, they go berserk. I've seen it so many times. They get on college campuses or they get out into the adult world and they have really just gone crazy with all kinds of things that you would rather them not do on social media. The other thing is, when you teach them to use social media wisely, they can see that, oh, a college is looking at my social media footprint. Mm. My employer. Right. They are watching what I'm posting and where I am on Friday when I'm supposed to be at work, but they see I'm posting pictures of me at the beach. No wonder I just got fired. We teach them to have a positive social footprint, knowing that we are leaving a trail of what matters to us, what we believe in, and who our circle of friends are. That is powerful. That will impact them for the rest of their life.
Yes, and I totally agree. And I love that side of it, because any platform that God gives to any of us, we can find ways to use it for His glory.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.
Does it feel like you spend more time searching for educational videos than watching them? Are you looking for educational games and activity books? Do you need some virtual field trips to supplement your studies? Then Homeschool History is for you. Homeschool History is a new online resource from the team at Not Grass History. You can use your phone, tablet, or computer to find history-related videos, games, websites, field trips, and more. Visit homeschoolhistory.com to start your free trial today.
My other question on the other side is then, if we're going to allow them to use social media to have a positive social footprint, which absolutely we should do that, how do we protect them from the things that are to come? Back in the summertime, our family travels a lot. And so we're always away from friends, wherever we are. And so back in the summertime, we were actually in California visiting family and friends there. And Brooklyn had been asking to get Instagram because some of her friends had some Instagram accounts. So Garrett said, okay, well, we'll allow you to get Instagram. However, it's going to be linked to my phone and to your phone. And so he would have access, of course, to everything that she was you know, posting on there, people who are posting on hers, we were very, he really tightened down the notch on who had access to her Instagram. And one night I went on her phone and it wasn't anything she had been looking at all, but you know, Instagram, when you go to the homepage, it came up with a horrific, I mean, just the pictures were horrific. And I screen captured some of them because I couldn't even believe them. And so anyway, the next day, Instagram was off of her phone and she was so upset because she said, well, I haven't looked at any of those. I said, I know you haven't, but you still have access to them and you will see them even if it's accidentally. I know you're not going to go looking for them, but I know so many kids can get caught in that trap without even intentionally. They don't even know that they're getting caught in a trap until they see something and go, oh, what's that? So how do we allow them to be engaged with social media in a safe way to where they're not going to be exposed to things that are going to be harmful to them?
You know, many of the executives with all of these platforms, I even had a meeting with some folks at Google and asked them, you know, they had teenagers, what do they allow? And, you know, they're like, well, we don't allow very much because they understand all the loopholes. Well, that's the truth. The kids know all the loopholes. You put a password, you lock something down, and 2 seconds later, they're going to crack the code. They're just brilliant like that. They understand it. We have to remember it all starts with one click. So that one little vision can turn into two or three or four. So Yvette, in the case of Brooklyn, your daughter, I'm so sorry. In the case of your daughter, it's basically, sweetie, it's God says this. We are to look on what sort of things are good, what sort of things are lovely, what sort of things of good report. Look on those things. Think on those things. Sure. Be careful what you put before your eyes. It's not that we don't trust you. It's that we know what others are trying to get into you. We can get filters. There's different companies out there that put parental filters on there. I've seen all of that. And the minute you put those devices on lockdown, your kids just find other ways. Where the heart wants to go, it's going to go. Mm-hmm. So it all comes back to the heart, because the cousin might not be on lockdown. The neighbor might not be on lockdown. Yep. I've had parents tell me their kids go in their bedroom while their parents are sleeping and they pull the phones out from the drawer where they know their parents have them. They break into the password. They've spent time on social media. They slip it back in before the parents wake up the next morning.
Yeah.
So where your child's heart wants to go comes back to knowing your child and keeping the heart of your teen, which goes back to knowing, having their relationship. They might stumble and we certainly don't want that, but walking them through the dangers and the pitfalls and saying, I'm not doing this because I want to deprive you from connecting with your friends. My first responsibility is to answer to a holy God who says, I have given you children, these children, to teach and train in the way they should go. You are the first line of protection. So do your job, mom and dad. Yeah. Stand in that gap. They might not like it, but when they know it's not that you're a perpetual killjoy or that they're never going to talk to anybody.
Right.
You're saying, I see this is happening. I want to guard you and protect you in as much as possible so that you can wisely make the decisions. And I don't want you to sneak around. You know, I may not know what you do. I would tell my kids this all the time. I don't have eyes in the back of my head, but I have a holy God who has eyes everywhere. Yeah. So that trumps the eyes in the back of my head.
Right.
I may not know what you see or do, but I can promise you the Lord will see. And he has this uncanny ability to let mom and dad find out.
Yeah.
And that's never fun. And that's never pleasant. But I do recommend knowing the child, and some children are easily addicted to social media because why? They want to be known. They want to be heard. They want to be seen. Some children could care less. If your child is insecure, they're going to be more tender toward those comments of comparison. Whereas children that don't wrestle with self-confidence issues, maybe those are the children that you wish, you know, they weren't quite as confident as they were. But it all comes back to knowing the child and knowing what their propensity is, which goes back to the very beginning of our conversation. Be a student of your child. Observe where their tendencies, where do their feet run? What are they searching for and longing for? And then how can you provide those in a way that is good and beneficial and needful to their soul. Does that make sense?
It totally does. And I just want to clarify, she hadn't been looking at anything, you know.
It was
kind of weird. It came on late at night, and I don't know if Instagram does that intentionally. I mean, it was long after she'd gone to bed. And anyway, we totally trusted her. We didn't trust Instagram. That was the thing. And so,
and you're right.
We shut it down.
Yeah, I meant that.
But you're right. I mean, it doesn't matter where they go. You know, kids at church have cell phones, and you don't know what they're exposing our kids to. And, you know, we cannot keep our kids in a bubble all the time. But I love that you're talking about, you know, having that open dialogue with them. And that's one thing that we have with our girls. And I've told them since they were teeny tiny, if you ever come across anything that is inappropriate, or that you feel in your heart is inappropriate, because you can feel it, you know what's inappropriate, you come to me and you, or go to daddy and you talk to us about it, and we will pray with you. And I've had both of my girls on different occasions come to me and say, Mom, I didn't mean to see something will flash up on the TV, and that they just walked into a room innocently. They had no idea what was going on. And so they are exposed to these things. And so anyway, it's an unfortunate time to live in history. I wish that we didn't have to expose our kids to these things. Well, we don't expose them. I wish that our kids weren't exposed to these things, but they are. And so, yes, I think having that honest, open dialogue with them and allowing them to come to us with anything and us not freaking out about it as their parents, you know, oh my goodness, what did you just see?
You've ruined my life. I want to say one thing, Yvette.
Sure.
When our children do see something on purpose or indirectly, my children were exposed to so much when they were with their friends and everybody had their devices. The rules, the standards, the values that you hold, the cousins might not hold,
right?
Or, you know, even the friends, like my kids all play, you know, sports. Even the other kids on the Christian basketball team didn't all hold the same standards.
Right.
And they saw a lot of stuff. And one of the things that I have learned and my kids have kind of shared with me is that we didn't shame them and guilt them, either whether they clicked on it themselves or whether they stared at something just maybe a little too much or, you know, piqued that curiosity. We don't want to make them feel dirty. We don't want to make them feel guilty or shamed. We want them to get wiser so that doesn't happen in the future. And when something does happen, they know how to navigate and pivot away from that to avoid it. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. Yeah.
And I'm sure you did that with your daughter.
Oh, sure.
But parents often, they don't know what to do. And our first reaction is, we're just getting rid of all of it because I really don't know what to do with it. So when we take the time to teach our children, there is a purpose and a place for it, that they have a voice, that they can use that voice to create a positive social footprint, create awareness, bring others on board, shine a light on the things that are going to make an impact in their local neighborhood even. They feel as if they are heard and seen and they can express themselves. And that just takes you and I getting down in there and paying attention.
Apologia Educational Ministries is happy to sponsor this episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Apologia is the number one publisher for homeschooling families with over 110 number one awards. Now that's impressive, but more importantly, that's why Apologia is trusted by homeschooling families all across the USA. We are here to help you have the most successful and Christ-centered homeschooling experience possible. We want to affirm your decision to homeschool, encourage and challenge you to take it to the next level, inspire you along the way, and celebrate all the wonderful things you get to experience with your family in this adventure of a lifetime. We have plenty of free and helpful resources that you can access by visiting apologia.com/start. That's apologia.com/start. Apologia, a great place to explore creation.
I loved how earlier you talked about how it really is an issue of the heart, because if we are really helping our children to grow in their knowledge and understanding of the Lord, which again, you know, is our responsibility as their parents, is to teach them the ways of the Lord and to just, you know, pour scripture over them and teach them the word of God. If they know that, then, you know, hopefully they will have that prompting of the Holy Spirit and they will feel, they'll feel that conviction, you know, even if it's not anything they've done wrong, if they just come across something and they know it's not something that's right, they'll feel that, oh, I'm not supposed to see that, and walk away from it. And so that's really, you know, the greatest hope is that they will have the prompting and that they'll listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, when we want them to be sensitive to his stirring.
Right. Because after they're out of our home, you know, we're not there to protect them. You know, they're still going to have access to all sorts of things.
It reminds me of that song that we used to teach them. Be careful what you, be careful little ears what you hear. Yes. Be careful little eyes what you see.
Right.
You know, that's exactly, I mean, that just kind of like goes throughout all of life. We just don't put the cute little sound to it, but it's still the truth. Guard your eyes, guard your heart with all diligence.
Yes, that is right. Okay, let's take a little turn in this whole world of homeschooling. And I want to talk about homeschooling and like practically through the teen years, because I know oftentimes we don't feel like we are equipped. We basically, most moms don't feel like they're well enough equipped to teach, you know, even up to the junior high years. And then we get into the high school years. And unless you are a master in every subject, which pretty much no one is, you know, you don't have a historian and a mathematician and a scientist and, you know, an artist and all these things in every family. You know, mom can't be all those things. We feel like, well, we might be strong in one area, but these other areas, I'm just not equipped to teach these. So how did you work through those years with your kids? Because, you know, you're a smart lady, Connie, I've met you, but you probably weren't a master of every single subject you taught your kids in high school. So how did you get through those years, and how can you build confidence into these parents to just stay the course through the high school years?
You have to remember what your children need. They need you to remain steadfast during these years. That doesn't mean that the rules are exactly the same, that you can't adjust and pivot, but it means that they need you to identify in them areas of giftedness and areas of weakness. What happens when we ask our children, what's your favorite subject? And they'll tell us, I don't know. What's your least favorite subject? And they'll say, math, history, science. We can go to the default of what we can't do and easy. I mean, we get 3 A's and 1 B, and it's, why did you get a B instead of, hey, you got 3 A's. So how did I navigate high school with all 5 children? I understood how they learned because I paid attention. I knew one child I could just give nothing but textbooks and research projects and a to-do list. And that's, I could send that child on their happy little way. I knew another child how to experience it, taste it, feel it. Took that child a lot longer in a school day to be able to accomplish what they needed to accomplish. But the end of it, they would still learn it. Tailor the education to the needs of the child. Look for what you see that giftingness is in that child, whether it's they have a propensity for math and science, load them up with math and science. And that just means you're not going to spend as much time on art. Doesn't mean art doesn't matter, because I have an artist who's doing phenomenally well. It just means that particular child, I knew she probably wasn't going to go in science. And this is my daughter, Jeannie. I knew she wasn't going to go in science like an engineer, like her brother, but she needed to understand geometry. She needed to understand physics. She needed to understand lighting and scope and all of those things. And she needed to be able to tell a story. So for Jeannie's education, I focused on time and space and creating. I think it's Pablo Picasso. Did I get that right?
I think
yes.
So.
He basically said every child is born creative. It's up to us to keep them that way. I focused on that early on. I wanted to keep the creativity and the innovative I can't speak today. I wanted them to be innovative. I wanted to be explorers. So I wanted Paul, and I'll use their names, but I wanted Paul to explore the worlds of math and science and quantum physics and calculus. I didn't know calculus, and I didn't know physics, and I didn't need it. Jeannie needed to understand what she needed to understand. Tyler needed to understand filmmaking and storytelling and cinematography and various things like that. So I specifically in the eighth grade, because you wanted nuts and bolts, and the seventh and eighth grade, I sat down with that, you know, book I told you I had been paying attention to. Uh-huh. And I looked and I started planting seeds of possibilities within each child. You know, Paul, I noticed this about you. You might want to consider this field. Jeannie, I noticed that when I come back from a homeschool conference, the most favorite thing about me coming home is the bag that I bring you from Miller Pad and Paper. Thanks for the just free endorsement there. She was going to get color pencils and scrapbooks and things of the like. That was her favorite thing. I would say, you know, you may want to consider this field. Tyler, you may want to consider this field. Jacqueline, you love to create food. You love to make your plate look beautiful or create all these fancy recipes. Jonathan, you could talk till the sun comes home. You could argue with a bush. You are so persuasive, not manipulative. You're persuasive. Why? We're going to watch the words. The words that are going to come out of our mouth are going to land into a tender place of our heart because we're going to see through the eyes of our child, right? John, I see this in you. You might want to consider this. Then we started mapping out a plan. All right, you're going to need this by the time we turn the tassel. So let's work backwards. Paul, you're going to need these courses. Jeannie, you're going to need these courses. Tyler, you're going to need these courses. Jacqueline, you're going to need these courses. These, not everybody got the same education. They all got a phenomenal education, but it was tailored to how they learned, what they were interested in, and the path that they were going to take, which you may, your next question, Yvette, if depending on time, maybe, but how did you know that? Well, some of it is you try and they go, I really don't like this. My daughter wanted to be a veterinarian. I mean, she wanted to be a marine biologist. She thought a marine biologist swam with dolphins all day long. Then she met a friend of mine who was a marine biologist and she said, no, you got to like do dissection. She's like, not going to do that. I love pets too much. And so she pursued something else. So don't be afraid to try. And don't be afraid to pivot. As a parent and as a homeschool mom of teens and high schoolers, you've got to master the art of the pivot. So listeners, please write that down. Master the art of the pivot. It's okay for you to lay that down. It's okay for you to say, I thought this was going to work, but it's not. So we're going to change. Honey, let's consider using this. Let's consider not going in this direction because I see you constantly get drained of energy or sucked out of, like the life gets sucked out of you. Let's try this. What do you think about that? Do you hear how my words make them go like this? Yeah. So I always tried to frame a question that as I was saying it, they'd be going like this. And they didn't necessarily want to do that, but they couldn't help because I'm inviting them into this dialogue and this conversation. And they see that at the end, when I turn the tassel, I'm not going with them beyond that point. The only point I'm going with them is in our relationship. But those decisions are all going to be there. So be thinking about the specific things that I had mentioned.
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. And one of the things that I've really come to realize, partly through talking to you and many other moms who have gone before me on this homeschool journey, is that God has created each one of our kids with certain abilities. He has not created every single one of them to master every subject. And we talked about that. But, you know, we have this idea that when our kids go to school, they have to ace everything. They have to ace history, science, math, you know, geography, art, everything. They have to do it all perfectly because in our world of school, an A means that you have mastered it and perfected it. But God didn't create every one of our children to be a historian and a scientist and an artist and a mathematician. He created them all of us differently. I hope you've been encouraged today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of my conversation with Connie Albers. Until then, have a fantastic day.